Simshin Chavches, it actually deals with two topics. It's Din Chayla B'Shabbos, but Din Chayla B'Shabbos encompasses two totally different bodies of halacha. One is the Din of a Chayla She'im by Sakana, and one is the Din of a Chayla She'yesh by Sakana. And they have very different rules. And if it was up to me, I would have made two separate simonim out of it, because you have to get clear the rules of a Chayla She'im by Sakana and the Din of a Chayla She'yesh by Sakana. Sif Aleph and Beis are just sort of introductions to the entire simon. Sif Aleph introduces Chayli Shein by Sakana, and Sif Beis introduces Chayli Shein by Sakana. Sif Aleph, Mishiesh Lai Mechush Bialma. If somebody has a Mechush, now we have to define that for the next 2 or 3 months that we're going to be learning this, you have to know what's the definition of a Mechush and what's the difference of a Chayli. Two different things. Mechush is when you have a headache or an earache or something bothers you. That's called a mechush. It's not called a chayli. You're not sick, even though the doctor might say you're sick, and you know he might put down on the insurance, who knows what kind of name for what's bothering you. But that's not called sick. That's a mechush. That means something bothers you. There's a chayla she'im by sakana, chayli, im by sakana, but it's called chayli. It's a separate gedder. A person's called a chayla when he feels so sick that he's not nafal mishkan, that he feels like he has to lay in bed. And it's sometimes hard to judge, because a lot of people like to lay in bed, with any little thing. But the point is that because you don't feel well, you feel like you have to go into bed, then you're called a chayla. Or the Gemara uses, Chazal uses a different lashon. Either, as I just said, that you're nafal mishkan, or the other lashon that they use is chayla kol gufa, your entire body aches. Which I will have to define maybe a little better. That's called a chayla. A mechush is somebody, if something bothers him, something hurts him, has a headache from being overtired or from stress or an earache. So that's mishiyesh le mechush bi alma, v'hu mischazek v'hayla kabari.
There's no such thing as chayla be'ever echad then.
So we'll get to chayla be'ever echad and the definition of how. Chayla be'ever echad is not a chayla. Of course, this is a kind of sakana saver, which we're going to get to. But chayla be'ever echad is a mechush. Mishiyesh le mechush bi'amav u'mischazik v'hayla kibari, and he's walking around. He's not nafal mishkan. Also, lastis le shum refua. It's also to do any type of medication for him. Afilo ayde yakov. Gezeira mishum shchika samimana. So gezeira because of shchika samimana. Many people mispronounce. To shchika samimanim. So you have my old rule. How do you remember when something's a shin or a sin? So there's an old way to remember. Most words that appear as a sin, also the shayrish appears as a shin. So if you look at the word, a word like this, everyone knows there's a word shchik. That's what a sin. This doesn't mean to laugh. So this is shchika samimanim. You remember it by the opposite. When you get confused over something, you can remember it by the reverse. Everyone knows there's a word, sheish and sas, right? Most words with a sin appear with a shin. And when people get confused, usually one of the two you remember. Very often, I used to get mixed up to search. In Hebrew, the sheish is ches, pei. Some people say sin and shin, right? Chipush or chipus, which one is it? So everyone knows chafshi, to be free, is a shin. Chafshi, right? Chayfesh, is occasion. So then, vayach pais, to search is with a sin. You remember it by the reverse one. So it's shchika samimanim because it's shchika samimanim. That's a simin. It's an easy way to.
Is that just a way to remember? Or is that
just a way to remember? No. I don't know. It's not an absolute rule that every word with a sin has a shin, because I found over time a few words with a sin that don't appear with a shin. So it's not a rule that they didn't make sins until they used up the shin. I wish I entertained that thought, but it's not that way. But. Okay. What? So we're talking about taking an aspirin. What we're saying here in Sif Aleph is that someone who has a mechush ba'alma is not permitted to do refuah. It's not permitted to take medication. Okay? This is a drabbana. Gzeira, because a person might come to grind up samimanim, might come to grind up, to grind things up. So that's awesome. Now, for a real chayli, it's mutter to take medication. For something that's not a chayli, it's a mechush. It's us. Someone has a slight headache. That means, according to this, he can't take an aspirin or a Tylenol because he has a mechush bi'alma. This is where it's awesome. Someone has a headache from being overtired. from stress, so that unless he's so sick that he's not for the Mishkan. But otherwise, a person is not permitted to take medication. Now, what? Lashis l'rishum refuah. To do a refuah, to make it, is this a deraisa. Lashis l'rishum means to use medication, either to swallow it or to put it on, because a lot of medications are put on. So if it's lashis l'rishum, they're not always swallowed. So, to liquid as well, because in order to make a liquid suspension, you have to grind the ingredients and mix them together. So it involves grinding. So the question is whether this applies today. Today, it's not something we can do in our homes. And although there are people who grind up tablets in order to eat them, but that's not a malacha, because there's a rule of ein tchina achar tchina. Something was already once ground, so there's no rule of ein tchina achar tchina. But aval pikein, all the paiskim agree that there is an isser, even today, of shrika samamanim. There is such a gzeir shrika samamanim on taking medication. However, we're makel in cases where there's a svar lahakel, we're more makel. We are kraven. We try when there's a shita to hang our hat on, being that today it doesn't come to shrika samamanim. So therefore we're makel. Now you have to realize that this could turn around again. This could easily change. Right, it could start with the health and naturalist medication, all these things. It could suddenly be the style. They're going to give you herbs, and you're going to grind them again. Not that it can't possibly change again. I mean, these mishkas could change. That's true. What? Okay, there are a number of exceptions, and let me tell you. We're going to get to the exceptions later in this month. Let me outline for you the basic exceptions. Where this applies. Now, naturally, the first exception is a chayli, somebody who really is sick. Somebody who has a heart condition, and the doctor told him, a lot of doctors hold that after you have a person has a heart attack, that he should take an aspirin a day for the rest of his life. That it's something which only has a beneficial side to it. Now, the lamaisa, it's mutter. Paiskim are mater it, but for one of two possible reasons. Rapam holds it's mutter, because he says that that's called a chayli. A person who has a heart condition, that's a chayli, even though he's not nafal mishkav. But something which has a shem chayli, a heart condition, is a chayli, that is automatically mutter. Chazal only asked in mechush, we're doing something bothers you. But if something has a shem chayli, it's mutter. Ad kedei kach, or from once I had the shayla from one of my wife's students, a teenager who had a severe case of acne. And she was taking antibiotics for it, for the acne that she had. And she asked if she's permitted to take it on Shabbos. Rav Palm held that any infection has a Shem Chayli, and that a person's allowed to take antibiotics for any type of infection. Once it has a Shem infection, so it's always smutter. There's no restrictions on that. And one second. So that's a separate thing. So if it has a Shem Chayli. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know if that would apply to a fungal infection. Everything has a name. But infection is a chayli. Infection is something which can kill somebody. So even though in a certain degrees it's not, acne infection cannot. I understand. So this is what he held. Now the... Okay, it's not... I don't think it's a double punch. But this is what he said. Now there are other exceptions. Another exception is a... What? That wasn't the case. That was not the case. Okay. Another exception is something which is not even a mechish, not a chayli, and it's not a mechish. It's less. For example, mouthwash. Mouthwash is mentioned later in Sif Lamid Vav or so that you're allowed to use mouthwash on Shabbos. Why can you use mouthwash? I should be also shrika samim on him. So the answer is that it's not a chayli. It's not even a mechish. It's nothing, even though one of the brands was advertising, they had to give some name to some disease sign they named to something itis, right? So, but it's not a chayli, and for that reason, it's mutter. Now, there are paiskim who are mati because of this birth control pill on Shabbos. It's not even a mechush. Now, why should that be mutter? Let me explain. Let me explain to you. Not for Michael Breen. It's separate. The reason that we ask this, because Shrika Samamanim, is because a person who has a mechush is bohul. A person tends to be bohul. When things hurt him, physical pain, cause a person a certain amount of bahala. And there's a chashash that will come to Shrika Samamanim because of his bahala, because he's fatumult over it, he might more easily come to shrika samaman, to grinding up samaman. So that is a reason that Chazal asks it. If it's something which is not even, it doesn't cause him pain. So for that, Chazal didn't make such a gzera. So some of the examples, again, an example would be birth control pills, which the Paiskim, in a case where a person has a hetzer to use it, Amati are taking it on Shabbos as well.
Vitamins.
Ramesh has a tshuva about vitamins, so it comes out as a weird thing. Ramesh says a person who's vitamin deficient, so for him, it's either a mechash or a chayli, depending on how bad his condition is. He has a shayla. But a person who's not, a person who's well, and he just pops vitamins all the day because he thinks it makes him better, so he says for that it's muta. That's not, besides that, there might be a different heter. But there's no chayli or mechash, a person doesn't know he has any condition. He just takes it because when he's a kid, his parents trained him to take vitamins every day. So for such a person, it's also mutter. There was a certain amount of controversy over taking sleeping pills. A person who has a hard time falling asleep, he's allowed to take a sleeping pill on Shabbos. The Kaf HaChaim writes that taking sleeping pills is not a mechush, you're not sick. A person who can't fall asleep, so he's not sick. It means his mind is racing, he's thinking about a lot of different things. So for such a person to take sleeping pills, the Kaf HaChaim is a Siddhanta Simishukhav Zayin, and he is matir taking sleeping pills. I saw the Ktsais HaShulchan also is matir. So Lamaisa, a person can rely, as I said, anytime you have machlaikas, and there are those who dispute it, to say take a sleeping pills, it's a mechish to not fall asleep. But when you have a machlaikas and you have a place who you can rely on, the Ktsais HaShulchan. So this is the other reason. There are some who say that taking aspirins today is that that taking aspirins today should be mutter because it's not something where a person is in a state of chayli. A person is well and he's just taking the aspirins, his blood should be thin, it shouldn't put a strain on his heart, it shouldn't cause later a heart attack. So for that reason this would be another svara to be makel on the taking of aspirins for someone who takes it as a regimen every day.
Heartburn
is a mechush. Heartburn is a mechush. If it's so bad, then you can take it. If it's not so bad, then you can't.
People take mechush to the hospital. Does that mean non-mechush?
Well, according to this, a person who takes it, why?
What?
According to Ramesh's interpretation, if he knows he has a condition, then it's a problem. And if he doesn't know he has a condition, it's not a problem.
No, but the only thing you have to know about it, but he takes his own pill during the
Okay, I'm not sure how much. It could be requinter farm if it might be included in a heart condition. I don't know. It depends. The person would have to explain how serious the condition of the heart.
So it's not a high cholesterol.
If you would label him as having a condition, if it's a condition which is serious enough, then there certainly it has a din of a chayli. Question is, at what point does it become a chayli and at what point isn't it a chayli? So you have to ask a doctor. I don't know exactly how to guide it. How bad? Obviously, the cholesterol levels are digital. There's a certain number where suddenly you say it's a condition. The guidelines are where it would be considered a chayli, it would certainly be mutter. But all right, we're acquainted with Palm's interpretation. A chayli, someone has a condition, a chronic condition, that's called a chayli.
Oh, if he has a condition.
He has a chronic condition.
Palm, if you involve that
condition would be a chayli. Yes. Vitamins, again, someone who is. There's an area in between. Someone who doesn't know he has a vitamin deficiency, just takes vitamins every day because it's a good thing to do. The fact is, most vitamins most people take out, they just come out into the bathroom afterwards. They come into the body, out of the body. If he doesn't need the vitamins, the body just gets rid of them. But people are into this thing of taking vitamins. In most cases where it's not needed, because who knows, one day he won't have the recommended daily allowance of whatever it is. So he takes it. That's 100% mutter. Someone who's seriously vitamin deficient, we would call it a chronic condition, that would be a chayli, is also mutter. Someone in between, who, he catches colds a lot, and if he takes their vitamin C, he won't catch it as much, then somebody who has a deficiency, which is not a serious deficiency, is not allowed to take vitamins or shots. About taking iron during pregnancy. I would think that they should not take it on Shabbos. It would not hurt them, but they can take, if I take vitamins once a day, they take it every day at supper. They can take it Friday before left, and then they can take it much of Shabbos afterwards. I don't think that that's a chronic condition. Now, there are some women who are seriously iron deficient, and they could take it. That would be a chayli. But otherwise, I don't think so. Today it's standard. A woman who's for pregnant nursing takes iron pills, but I don't think that would have a shame chayli. Now, is it Michael Briam? I'm not sure. But, so I would think a person should schedule it so he can take it without missing shabbat. Now, what? High blood pressure is a chronic condition which a person should take. It's certainly a chayli. Yes? All right, these prate adinim, we're going to have to wait. We're going to get to them later. It's a long siman. It has 49 sifim, and 49, I think it's gematria chayla, right? That's the way I remember it. Gematria chayla is 49. So, but we're going to get to the pratim. But to klalim, I just wanted to tell you that there are major exceptions. The major exceptions, one, is a person who does not have even a mechush. Number two, a person who, it's a Michael Briam. Let's say someone has a cold and wants to have a tea. That's a Michael Briam. A Michael Briam, a food which healthy people take as well as mutter. That's why someone with a sore throat can use mouthwash. But since it's a Michael Briam, even healthy people gargle every morning with mouthwash. So even if you don't, but that's a Michael Briam. A Michael Briam, you're allowed to use for health reasons. And number three, a major heter, which we're going to have later, is a refuah which cannot be done with medicine. Let's say a person has a bump, you want to put ice on the head. So it's mutter. Mishnah Berurah says, why is it mutter? Because it's not a refuah which is done with medication. To lower swelling is not a refuah which is done with medication. It's only done with ice or a cold item. So therefore, that's not included in this. It's not something which is normally done al yedei sam. And again, we'll get to examples in Gedarim of it. But these are three major exceptions. Something which is not even a chayli, something which is a Michael Brian, so it's not shai chayli de sam. Then there's a fourth exception, which is an issue of dispute. And that is, what someone mentioned earlier, a refuah that must be taken a number of consecutive days in order to work. A certain refuah is, which in order for them to work, if you take antibiotics 3 days in a row and you stop, so what's happening is the antibiotics kill the germs so that they're supposed to kill, and you give them a day to reproduce. So you're supposed to take them a certain number of consecutive days. Now, in the case of antibiotics, which are taken for a chayli, it's mutter anyways. It's a chayli. There are certain medications which wouldn't be mutter, but the Chazon Ish holds that there's a heter in the fact that you're taking it for many consecutive days, and that's a heter. Rav Moshe is teicha b'shtei yadayim. You know, there's no such heter. So it has to be taken many straight days. You have to find an eitzim. Unless it's a chayli. But otherwise, there's no such heter. The middle ground, which Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach held, is he said something which could work, even if you miss a day, it'll work. Maybe you have to take it a few extra days. But something which will work, you're supposed to take it many straight days. If you miss a day, you should be machmir, like Rav Moshe. But something which wouldn't work any other way, so we're mitzarif again, the fact that today there's no real chashad of shlichas samamanim. And Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the footnotes of Shri Shabbos Kol Chasa, is finding this Pshara. So these are the four basic heterim.
You
have to take it many straight days. All right, I have such a case. I have a case with one of my children who has a problem with his foot. It might be a fungal infection. He has something with his foot where the doctor gave him a medication to smear on. There are two problems of smearing, which we'll get to, and the medication aspect. So what he is doing is he's not using it on Shabbos. And it's taking longer to get rid of it. But it's only a mechush, it doesn't make him sick, he gets around. But it's itchy, it bothers him. But what he's doing is skipping Shabbosim, and while normally it might have healed in 2 or 3 weeks, and now it's going to take him 5 or 6 weeks. But I don't know that I got the numbers exactly right, but this is the way he's doing it. Yeah? Yes, that heter of many consecutive days only if you started before Shabbos.
Who's that for Eshkol?
All Sarche Ketanim are considered, we're going to learn that all Ketanim have a Shem Chayla. Any child, now the question is to what age, and we'll discuss that, but certainly a baby, all Sarche Chayla, a baby is considered a Chayla for everything. Anything that irritates a baby is a Shem Chayla, because I will not go easier to prevent, like diaper rash, even a slight diaper rash, anything a child needs, there's no hesitation, there's no problem at all. No, you don't smear, there's a problem with smearing. What you do with a diaper rash is you take the Bomex or the Desitin and you squeeze it onto the diaper and then you close the diaper onto the baby. Now the baby wiggles around and it just gets smeared by itself. But you don't physically smear it on. Follow you. Good point. The smearing is, it might be a mamlocha deraisa. It's a separate thing. Smearing is a sharma machik.
What about squeezing a tube?
Squeezing a tube is not a shayla. There's no issue in squeezing a tube. You don't change the consistency of the of what you're doing. You don't thin it out at all. You can dab it on. The best thing I tell people is take the handle of a spoon and to put it on with that. You start with your finger, you can end up smearing. You take a spoon or a popsicle stick or something, and you apply it with that onto the baby or onto the diaper, and you close it. It's on a different part of the body. There are people who have skin conditions. There are babies who have eczema or the like, and what you do is you put it on, you put an undershirt on, and the baby moves around, it gets smeared, and the undershirt has to be washed afterwards, but that's the proper way to do it.
Okay. That someone who has a chronic condition but feels well, because not even because of makers?
No, Rapam said the opposite. That some, there are people who want to say taking aspirin every day, but someone with a heart condition, it's a Michael Brahim, it's, he's not sick. Rapam didn't say it. Rapam said is that someone who has a heart condition is a chayla. It's a chayla she'ain by sakana. You can argue maybe it's yesh, but if it's only a chayla she'ain by sakana, someone who has a chronic condition is just a chayla. It's human frailty that we look at people. People look at themselves when they're healthy and walking around that they're well. They don't realize that there's a time bomb ticking. They're really chayla.
So this guy with the condition is called the Holy Shem Sakana, even though he's holy.
Right. That's right.
Isn't Efshar Lovely Day Sakana the same thing as Sakana?
Efshar Lovely Day Sakana, we're going to get to when we say Av Efshar. We can't cover everything in Shabbalah. We're going to get to when we say. Okay, Sif Beis. Sif Beis is the rule for a chayla. Mishyesh la chayli shah sakana. Mitzvah lechalel olav es haShabbos. If you have a chayla sheyesh by sakana, it's a mitzvah to be lechabish. Vazari is harizem mishubach. And someone who's a zayid, right? You have that famous master Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim, somebody came to him to ask a shayla and had to do a chayla sheyesh by sakana. So he turned to his son, the brisker Rav. He told him, "You run faster than me, so you run to the house and tell them that they can do anything they want. So chayla sheyesh by sakana." And then he caught himself and he sent someone else. So the brisker Rav asked him, why'd you send somebody else and not me? He said, "You're a lamdin, you're going to start clarifying. It's mutter, it's not mutter. What is mutter? He's an amaretz. I'll send him. I'll just tell them mutter and they'll do everything." Azaris harizem mishubach. You can't, once you have a chayla in front of you, you have to be azaris. Vashayo harizem shefet damin. Once you're in a situation with a chayla shesh, you're not supposed to be a shaylas. If you're mislipik, you go and do it. Zotam agan Avraham Aleph, vahanishal, and a Rav who's asked the shayla, harizem maguna. Shayolai lidrash barab mishamuta. A Rav who's asked such a shayla is maguna. Because he's supposed to learn. It's a mishaykh of chas with people. He's supposed to learn ahead of time. People should know what's mutter and what's not mutter. Either people that don't show up, so nothing I can do about it. But the nishal harizem maguna. A person is supposed to learn. That means when you learn shaykh of chas, it's different. When you learn hilchas tzitzis, so you learn it basically. Later you'll know. You have a shayla, you look it up in Mishnah Berurah. When you learn shaykh of chas, you're not supposed to learn it to know what to look up. Supposed to know it, come away with the clear halacha, so that when it comes l'maisa, you don't have to be shayel. You're not supposed to have to ask. So you have to learn some mishum chachas differently. You have to learn it, maybe even chazrit, perish the word. But what? Give a test at the end. The tests are very good things. It's not a bad thing. I don't know. Somebody once went to Rav Yaakov and complained to him that he doesn't remember. So he told him, "You chaz 100 times, you don't remember?" He said, No. He said, "But 50 times, you sukkah chaz." He said, "Well, I chaz 50 times." So Rav Yaakov made him feel like, you know, like Shmuel, so 30 times for sure. 30 also not. No, what do you expect? The person has to chaz it. So, all right, so chazing. So Hashayel Haris HaShayfach Dam. Now let's finish the end of Magen Avraham. He says here something which is a little complicated. The Shechach HaSalim, right? Hashem, Anishal Harizem Maguna, Shoei Lejush Baram Shemuta, Gemara. Ayin B'yaradeh Esai Simikuf Nenhei, De B'inan, Shetehei HaRafua Yadua. It has to be a Rafua, which is a known medicine. Ay Al Pimumcha, our doctor says it is. Vayin Shomei B'yaseh Simikuf Lamedal, Kadacha Sein B'yasekana. We'll see what Kadacha says. But the Magen Avraham here says it has to be a Rafua Yadua, it has to be a known Rafua. Now that means that all these new refuahs that they're creating today, the homeopathic medicines, which are mostly are frauds, maybe all, but certainly most, there's no question that most of them are frauds, according to this, are not mutter. And the question is, the Prima Gadim asks on the Magen Avraham, why? Why isn't it mutter? So any suffix, Shabbos Fakis, suffix Sakana, even a 1% suffix, we're matir. It's very hard to understand what he means, suffix Refuah She'eni Yadua. So what does that mean? The guy is sick. He's Chashe Yesh by Sakana. Okay, again, your mind, you have to switch back and forth. That was only Yesh by Sakana. Yesh by Sakana. So now he wants to do a certain Refuah that involves the little Shabbos. So we tell him, it's not a known Refuah, you can't do it. Why not? I mean, if he wants to do it, it means he's not Stama Meshugana. He's saying that he's a Chayshev Sakana in the episode. He dreams up something that if he does a certain Malacha, he's going to suddenly become well. It means if someone told him, he's going to become well. So why can't he do it? So what it seems from this Magen Avraham, in Nachinami, it will be a Refuah, which there's a possibility that it's a Refuah, where there's some possibility, it's something which that they're running tests on, the government's running tests on, or a hospital's doing clinical tests to see if it works. So that would be a suffix, that would be mutter. But something which is totally a cholam, that if some European lady has this cholam, that this thing is a refuah, so then the stump, that's what he means, that it's not. The Mishnah Berurah is saisim. He says, b'inashdei refuah yadua la'anashim ayalpi mumcha. Has to be something. Now, if stam a lady comes and she tells you, if you cook this and this, and that and that, you mix it together, you get better. So that's not something which is mutter. There could be homeopathic medicines which are different. Most of them, I think, are not true refuahs.
Most of them.
Refuah yadua means it's yadua. A mumchah is somebody who's in that. A mumchah is a doctor. If a doctor tells you that I've seen people who are helped by it, so then that's fine. And if not, then not. It doesn't mean you have to understand how it works. If there are people who are helped, even a small percentage of people are helped by it, but at the same, you have to understand, if you have a certain chayli, statistically, let's say a person has a heart condition. So statistically, let's say a person has a heart attack, let's say 25% of the people never go for 30 years without a heart. I don't know what they can do, what the stats are, but let's say 25% never have heart attacks. They have homeopathic people, they come with homeopathic medicine, they give it to people. And what do you know? Of the people taking the homeopathic medicine, 25% of the people don't get heart attacks again. And they're touting that it's a great medication. They don't realize that even without it, 25% of the people would be well. So that's not a refuah. That's how these things get their, make their way.
When they test drugs, because when it's market, there's always a control group which gets a placebo.
They get a placebo, yeah. That's the reason for that.
Why 13% of people get fasting placebo.
Yeah, I always wonder. There's a certain amount. There's a psychosomatic effect that people who think they're getting better get better. I didn't mention it last night, but the Rambam Shita is that a katlonis, a woman who's widowed twice, gets married again. The Rambam holds if somebody wants to marry a katlonis, you don't tell them anything. Why? The Rambam says the whole katlonis business is psychosomatic. That a person marries a woman whose all her husbands died, but the chasn, he's happy, he's not thinking about it. But eventually, he starts thinking, man, whoever marries this lady die, and he can actually have. And the Rambam holds most of the refuahs and chazal. Some of them he's not garis b'chlal. The ones he's garis, he holds the psychosomatic. The ones that don't make sense. And for that reason, his daya is that they're not real refuahs. Now, I don't fully understand why we're not mechal Shabbos for psychosomatic things. Let's have a guy who's a chayshesh by sakana. And he says that, I'm going to get better if I get this refuah she'eni yadua. Why isn't that a good enough reason to give it to him?
If you light a candle for God Almighty, so why is it?
Candle's different. That we understand logically that the light in a room is something which we understood is something that makes people feel better. But I don't fully understand why that. What? Okay. All right. Let me tell you. There is a machlokes regarding. I don't know if psychosomatic things fall into this, but there is a big machlokes regarding refuah schooling, a refuah which is not a logical refuah, but it's a schooler. Certain things which are a schooler, we know, right? The guy has joined this, so they. They use the pigeons. I don't know if they found a way to explain it, but it's a refuah schooli. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Why not? It works. There is a tremendous machlokes in the Paiskin. The Rambam and the Ramban disagree. There's a Mishnah in Yuma which says that a man who is bitten by a wild dog, that means the dog has rabies or something. So it says, Ein machilin oisai Mechatzer Kavei Shalai. Seems they had this refuah, they would kill the dog and give a part of the liver or the meat near the liver of the dog to the chayla, and that would be a refuah. So the Mishnah says, Ein machilin oisai mechatzer kavei shalai. So Rashi says, it's not a refuah yadua. This is the Makar from Magen Avraham. It's not a refuah yadua. It's something that old ladies say, if you do it, you do it. But it's not a known refuah. It's not a refuah. Rashi's fine. What? For sakana, you could eat anything. If it would work, you could eat. But, well, Rashi says, not a refuah yadua. It wasn't known to work. It was just a superstition people. However, you have to realize, when you have a refuah, it's not yadua. When you have a machla, which some people recover from naturally. That's how do you get refuahs that some people swear by, and clinically it doesn't make any sense. Because it's used for a machla, which some people recover from anyway, right? And since some people recover anyway, some people who take it will recover. That's how you get all these people who read hands and mezuzahs and faces. How does it happen? They tell people you'll become a chassan. They tell 100 people you'll become a chassan. 20% become a chassan within a few months, which anyway 20% would become. And those 20% swear by it that this guy works. The other 80% don't walk around saying anything. So that's how these things come out. That's how all these things happen. It's, what was his name? Thomas, was a doctor who became an author in his old age. Passed away a few years ago. Great, what? Lewis Thomas. Lewis Thomas, great books, right? He has one, they're all short articles. And one of them, he writes something about the secret of medicine. He says, as you tell people, do this and this, and you'll get better in a day or two. And he says it works because most people get better in a day or two. Whatever it is they have. He's not talking about their disease. But he has an article. He writes it in a very amusing way. That's where you get these refuahs. So Rashi says it's a refuah shenidu. The Rambam in the Pirsha Mishnah says it's a refuah skuli. You're not allowed to do any refuah, which is a refuah that works up your skula, which is not medically explainable, not logically explainable. Refuah skuli is not mechal Shabbos. And there's a tremendous machlokes. The Chidah brings. You're not mechal Shabbos in this. They're right. Why are you allowed to wear a kameya? It's the same machlokes. There's some say you can wear a kameya mumcha because it's a refuah. The Rambam says, you know why you can wear a kameya mumcha? Because it's called a tachshit. A kameya mumcha is a tachshit, so you can wear it. Whether it works or doesn't is irrelevant. But mainly it's called a tachshit. There was a maisa with the Belzer Rebbe, the whole... What the Chidah is in Birkei Yosef Simin Shin Aleph, Sifav. I believe it is. It could be repeated here in Shin Chav Ches. There's big arichos on this. If you're allowed to do a refuah skuli or not, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, you're allowed to do it. But if you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for it, so he brings down a machlokes. There was a maisa which the Belzer Rebbe was visiting Shlomo Kluge's town. Shlomo Kluge, you have to know, was a big takif. He ran his town, right? He was besides that, he was the anti-Hasidic. All right, that gives a slant to the story. What happened was the Belzer Chassid was a chayla. And he was not visiting. He was still in Belz, wherever he was. So he said, send a letter to the Belzer Rebbe. You should daven for me and I'll get better. So they went. And they wrote a letter to him. And they had the guy travel to Brod to bring a letter to the Rebbe that this person became a chayshesh besakana, be misbal for me. Shlomo Kluge heard this. He hit the roof. You should see the nusach. It's printed. Shlomo Kluge has a tshuva. He just writes the psak that it's aser. But his original letter, the Tzitzeliezer, I don't know how he got a hold of it, he prints it in one of the tshuvas in Tzitzeliezer. He publicized the letter that if this Rav doesn't get up next Shabbos in the shul and announce that he was a Tayyib of Halacha, and Shlomo Kluge says, I'm not going to lay etain Shena la'enai, I'm not going to let myself fall asleep until I'm a farsim, b'cholay lam kulay, that no one's allowed to hear shilas to this Rav, that he's a Inyadeya Hilcha Shabbos, and etc. He was Yishrei Gevalt, that's not the Namachal Shabbos for to send a letter to the Rebbe. You should be misbaal for you. What? Okay, what he said basically is that he was upset that you're Namachal Shabbos to send a letter to the Rebbe. That's not a refuah. It's not a refuah. You have to do your medicine. That divorce. It's a refuah school. So he writes there that Tzitzeliezer brings that the Belzer Rebbe said that he agrees. You know, Avi Machal Shabbos sent a letter to the Rebbe, but once they sent me the letter, I have to ready be playing with Shemayim to give him a refuah, so then it will come out that it wasn't the Chil Shabbos for nothing. That's how he writes. That's how he writes that the Belzer Rebbe. Now he doesn't write the end of the story, but he says that the Belzer Rebbe said. So But Lamaisa, Lamaisa, that's a case of a forced school. We've just done what the Marsham in whatever it's true, say, Gimel, Sof, Simen, Shechatei, brings down this Maisa. He says, when I was a child, I remember that Europe took a tumult over this thing. The Marsham says, maybe if the Rebbe is a Rebbe Mumcha, like you have a Kameya that worked three times in a row, says, if it's a Rebbe Mumcha who he already saved three people, Shesh, Sakana in a row, so maybe you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos to send to him. So, now, I don't fully understand why a Rafua school should be Yasser. Mumana, if you hold it doesn't work, of course it's Yasser. If you hold it works, so I don't really understand why you shouldn't be allowed to be Michal Shabbos for a Rafua school. If it doesn't work, so of course you're not allowed. Maybe the Ramel doesn't work. But if it works, so what's the difference if it's a school or it's not a school? I mean, what am I not giving
you? Maybe the answer then is they asked that Shala whether you could send the Rebbe to a Basil Charif.
Yeah.
And his answer was the Rebbe Beishoy.
So Rebbe
it could be a school, the Rebbe Shalom could do the school.
Right, that's what he writes. So he has it, he writes, Ya Chazal say, Kishem Shemakadu Skara La Trisha Kachman Asar Prisha. So he says that just like sending a letter to a Rebbe would make you get better, so being my Neya from sending it, because it's a Kavit Shabbos, so Shabbos will be the spell for you. You get saved because of Shabbos. I, you know, these are Kazakh, and I don't know how it works. And, yeah.
You haven't defined that between the Rafua school and Rafua that we don't understand. The Rafua says we can call Rafua school, which is another generation or 5 years.
Don't understand. It's true. The truth is that many of the things we understand, we really don't understand. We don't understand why antibiotics kills bacteria. We know it does. I think it's fair to say. They understand why all the medicines work. But why it blocks those parts of metabolism? Why this does? Okay, so we do understand. But I think... But I understand what you're saying. There are things that...
I mean, one of the biggest controversies is why aspirin works. And the drug has been around for a long time. It's been accepted as safe and effective by every government regulatory agency. And it's a big controversy. Why does it work?
Naftali will explain to you afterwards how it works. I think aspirin, glad I have seen explanations of why it works. The question is, why does that work? Yeah, okay. Well, that's another thing. In medicine, I wish one day I would start clipping all the articles I read, which begin with, this has changed everything we always thought, science always understood about. You know, if you start clipping it, I think you would get that person who reads all the papers would make quite a collection, especially when it has to do with astronomy and the origins of the universe. I think every week you could find, and you don't have to go through the whole country, in the local papers or magazines, you can get certainly 4 a month of articles that start with, you know, this changed how everything we thought about the origins of the universe. Because these things are changing. In medicine, it's not quite as much, but what can I tell you? Well, we have to work what it says in the Paiskin. Rafua Skuli, I don't know. Now, again, I have a cash. I don't understand. Halacha L'maisa. Let's say I would have a chayla. And he's a chayshir for sakana. And I visit him in the hospital. And he wants terribly we should send a letter to the Rebbe. Now, let's say I'm a big apikaris. I don't believe in Rebbe's at all. I don't think the Rebbe's going to do anything for the guy. But why isn't the mutter to do it? I think guy at least. Because he's going to feel better. L'maisa, he's going to feel better. So the question was, maybe I should tell him I'm going to do it. Yeah, we'll send a letter to the Rebbe and don't do it. All right, maybe that's the answer. But then what you're saying is, Lu Yitzur, the guy is standing there, and the Rav walks in, the guy is standing there, he's in the middle of sending the guy to the doctor, to the Rebbe, so I should let him. Because Lamaisa makes him feel better. I don't know the answer. But doesn't take Michal Shabbos to that.
I know. But
yeah, understand. If people are Mispal, it works. Well, not Michal Shabbos would be Mispal.
But if it works...
That's so that's the question I asked you. If it works, why aren't you Michal Shabbos ready? So why not hang up signs on Shabbos? Hang up signs all over to be Mispal. And Lamaisa, Shlomo Kluger said it's awesome, but he has to pass with Lamaisa. So why is it Asa L'maisa? What's the Hesber? So Tisalias it says, because if you're Meneya, because the Shabbos, the Shemayim, they're not going to cry a can to you. That's like, you know, Shemayim Mitzalei the Dovarat. It's like a supernatural thing. Who knows? You know, I don't know what's going on in Shemayim. So, yeah. You know how they go?
If you say, and I've heard this explanation, that to a certain degree, the Emunah Sachon that you have contributes to make that the school should work, so the fact that the school is never 100%. It depends on the mood of the person. So the mail is something
that's Michal Shabbos, a medicine which is a suffix, you Michal Shabbos for. You see, that's the problem. The problem is halach is halach, and once you start about school of things, it's very hard.
It's
very hard.
What?
The chayla will feel better if you send. So maybe that's the answer. You lie to him, you sell him, you send. You don't send. If he's going to chayshish b'sakana, if you're going to wait till after Shabbos, send this to machlokes. What would you do? You can't see anybody in their right mind. Someone's dying. That's a fool, that's schooly, that's beduka, that he would say, don't do it. In the case of the pigeons, I know Rabelski once here. Rabelski explained, why do pigeons die when they do that thing with the pigeons? Why do they die? So Rabelski said they don't die because of the jaundice. He said they die because you take any bird and you hold the wings. I think he explained that birds don't have diaphragms. A human being, an animal, has a diaphragm that makes your lungs fill up, right? Every time you breathe, they fill up and they empty out. What makes them? You have a balloon, it doesn't fill up and empty out every minute. We have a diaphragm, which is like a piece of rubber, which pushes up and pushes down. Birds don't have it. Rabelski said that a bird has to move its wing bones every once in a while to expand and contract its lungs. If you take a bird and you hold it like this for 5 minutes, it's going to suffocate because it can't breathe. He said that's why the birds die in the jaundice. Now, why the fifth bird doesn't die, I'm not sure exactly how this works. But I'll explain to you afterwards. Sorry, not into it. All right, let's get on with the Shulchan Aruch. All right, so Pav and Bez are introductions. Now we get down to the nitty-gritty. Now, I have to tell you, as a Rav, Zeis B'Shaila, I'm very grateful that we have things like Sif Gimel, because I'm not a doctor. Generally, people ask me Shaila, so I don't ask a doctor. I mean, what's the Shaila? The problem is I've had experiences where doctors are not 100% forthright, where they... It's calling their eyes still Shabbos, even on Yom Kippur, and they tell people, yeah, but it's not true. So it causes for a lot of times, it causes for problems. What ends up happening is a Rav ends up being skeptical very often before he starts about a doctor, which it shouldn't be that way. You should at least give him a fair chance. But you end up being skeptical about things that doctors say because you have the experience once, twice, three times. Doctor says the chayli, and you let still Shabbos, and afterwards you look into it and you see it's not a chayli shesh b'sakon. So it becomes very difficult. Siv Gimel is a carte blanche, it's a given. Kol maka shel chalal, any wound inside the body, hadahainu me'ashinayim olifnim, anywhere from the teeth inwards, v'shinayim atzim b'chlal, including the teeth, mechalin aleha es ha-shabbos. It's considered a... In other words, if you don't know, a guy has a bellyache because he ate too much, so we know what it is. It's not a question. But let's say a person has a wound or a chayli, and it's not clear to us what it is. Mechalas Shabbos, anything internal in the body, mechal Shabbos.
Makas anything.
Let's wait. The dafka shin niskalel echad me'ha'evarim, and this is dafka if one of the evarim has some type of kilkel into it, has a wound to it, or has a problem with it. Hapnimian machbas maka aibua because of a wound. Bua would mean like an infection. Ukiyaisa bezeh, bua is a pimple. Or any infection. Avo mechushim einik ramaka. Stam, a guy says it aches. Aching, that's not called a maka. Everything aches from the inside out. I mean, a guy's a headache, also inside the body. But an ache, that's not a... Then you have to know. Miu, mishachayshish bishinai, umitzdara lov loitziai. Somebody has an ache in his tooth, and it caused him a lot of pain. Aymer la'akum loitziai. We can tell a guy to pull out a tooth. What does that mean? Zach the Magen Avraham Gimel, umitzdayer alav tzarach leimer shechalam imenu. It means that he's sick from he's sick kol gufay, right? Chayla kol gufay. That's why I told you Hashem chayli. Kama shesafti sif yud zayin chimash medakim aishem. Haytsa Hashem malacha deiraisa. Da chayvel rafula. Pulling out a tooth is a malacha deiraisa. It's not a chayli sheyesh by sakana if he has a toothache. But Ayyadei Gai, that we're going to be matirid. Because Ayyadei Gai, we do kol tzarchei chayli. That's what it says. It says here in the... here. So what comes out? So first of all, the Mechaber is very straightforward. The Mechaber says, any wound to the internal part of the body, unless you know differently for sure, when we're misopic, we automatically assume that it's a yesh b'sakana, and that's why we're mechal Shabbos. That's a clear psak. However, a toothache itself, not a wound to the teeth, but the toothache itself. Now, it seems from here that if a person has an infection in the tooth, a bua, somebody has an infection, that would be called the chayli shesh b'sakana from the mechaber. Now, that was once explained to me, maybe by Naftali or by someone else, because an infection, nowadays we have antibiotics, but the wound itself, if you have an infection which is passing and the pus gets into the bloodstream, is that what you told me? That could cause sakana, no?
Well, sure,
maybe someone else did. What?
Sure,
It sure can. And that's why, certainly before antibiotics, that was automatically considered a chalish shesh sakana, any type of infection.
But a toothache is always infected.
A toothache is infectious and it has potential to become infected.
It is infected. That's what
it is. Infected. A person who has exposed nerve is not necessarily infected. A person who breaks a part of his tooth or filling falls out. But decay, okay. Decay is infection, okay. Okay, look at it. But, okay, so in the scientific way, I guess you would look at it that way. We look at it as a bua, something which is a visible sign of infection. But at any rate, it says here that you can pull out a tooth, al yedei goy. Now, there are a few issues here. The major issue here is this Taz. Taz Aleph discusses a question, which is, again, many places in halacha. The question of misayaya. When you help someone, that's very hard for a dentist to pull out your tooth unless you open your mouth and tilt your head back. So the maisa, you really have to get help along. Is helping along, is that misayay ayesh by mamish or is misayayin by mamish? Is that a problem or not? There's an often a stira in shas. There's one gemara that says the words misayay ayesh by mamish. There's one gemara that says misayayin by mamish. There's a gemara in Makis that says if you go to a barber, and the barber cuts off your payas, so you're either you're misayaya. You sit there, you tilt your head whichever way. Misayaya, yesh be'mamish. Either this is the rice of cutting off payas, even though you're just sitting there. There's a gemara in Beya that says misayaya ain't be'mamish. It says in a case where you have a guy put medicine into your eyes on yantif, so even though you have to blink that the medication should go into the eye, but that's misayaya be'amo, misayaya ain't be'mamish. So there's a stira. Naturally, this would depend on whether pulling out a tooth is mutter. Guy has a toothache. Not going to be any sakana to wake up after Shabbos, but it bothers him. So he wants to get a guy to pull out his tooth. Is that mutter? Ramah says it's mutter. Question is, if you hold, yesh bei mamish, if you're pulling out a tooth, is it their eyes? And you hold, yesh bei mamish. So then, and you hold, yesh bei mamish, so that should be awesome. To be misayayah, if it is their eyes. So let's see the Taz of Katan Aleph. I'm a lakum like tzia. I can't custom base the ice of Bishem Archus Chayim. Believe Sarachim Bezeh. The Taz argues. He says, the Haak upon my Yisrael Messiah Yalazeh, the Mashiach Yitzhak Mashain. The Yid is helping him and letting the guy take out the tooth. Umay Shnor may Nikif, Perifas of the Makis. Darina and the Chayim. Why is it different than a guy gets a haircut in the last Perak of Mesechtes Makis? Darina and the Chayim. Dachi Amin and Sham Rava Omar, Bimisayeh Yavidibre Akoyal. The Mishnah says you get Malkus. Rabbi says Mimisayaya v'Dibrei Akel. Everyone agrees. Pirusha Mefarisha. So the Rashi, whoever it is, the Mefarisha Malkus says Misayaya Hashem Mazmin Hasayrais LeMalkus, because he prepares his head, he tilts his head so that the barber could cut it off. In Cain, Hachanami Kachba Mashem Mazmin Shinai Loitziyai. Here also, he's preparing his tooth to be taken out, so it should be awesome. If anything, when you open your mouth, it's more of a sayah than a haircut. Vika lehevi rayib. He says, l'choy, you can be a rayif I can. Mipeg beiz de beya, daf bol chav beiz. It says, amei ma shori le mikolein abi hakom b'shabis. Amei ma was matir. To put medicine in the eye. Ayidei goy on Shabbos, u parach le ravashi sham. Vokim sayaya bahadei. Deka omitz u posach. Ay, he's helping him because he has to blink his eyes. Pirish rashi, the sayger of pesach, we say einav. He blinks his eyelids. Lahach nesachal. If you're not doing the malach itself, it's mutter. What happened anyway? So you have a stira and two gemaras. The kashna gemaras are dadi. You have a stira and two gemaras. The kiva the misayaya ain by mamish. Ain a nikkav chayv malchus. The bina maisel malchus. We don't find in the Rishayim that they say this type of Messiah is one way and that type of Messiah is another way. So fret the Taz, the steer of the two Gemaris. So now, depending on how you ask it, so let's see how we're going to ask it, how we're going to answer it, then that will know a halacha. It's the same on the Amma, says it one way and says the other way. Can kasha the Ravashi or the Ravashi. Hikshu beperkam stir the Ravzavira Hadadi, Velazachu the Kosher of Ashi Hadadi, Bekrech Mashuk Safti. Akei Srichin Onu Lachalik Benayim. So therefore, we have to make the following chilik. What's the chilik? The Hidar Meimar, Loy Ovid Shum Maisa. The Kvar Ein of Heim Psuchais. In the case of the eye medicine, You're not doing any magic. The eyes are open. The normal person, his eyes are open. So he's laying down with his eyes open. So what's he saying? Then in the case of the eye drops, you are, the guy's laying there. He puts in the eye drops. The eye drops are going to go in anyway. If you blink, it goes in quicker. But he's laying there, and the eye drops can be put in anyway. So there, in order to get started, you have to tilt your head in the right position from the cut. What's he seem to say? That if you do it as part of a hagdama, you're misayaya in the beginning of the yisr, then there's an yisr. But if you're misayaya after the yisr, after the drops were put in, you're misayaya in the thing itself, but after the drops were put in, they're going to go in anyway. So there, we say misayaya in by manish. Okay, so again, the Misayaya, to help it get done in the first place, we say Misayaya Ishbei Manish. The Misayaya, after it's done, to help it take effect, that we say Misayaya
Ishbei
Manish. Well, to the extent it's involuntary, you're right. But he needs
to be anyway involuntary.
He needs to the extent. Okay, to the extent that it's involuntary, there would obviously be no shayla.
So what he means then is that you can blink more.
To the extent that it's involuntary, involuntary, I don't know. What he's saying is it's mutti even to do it voluntarily. Because involuntarily. Let's see what the Taz is saying. So I guess he means amatzu pasach means that he's allowed to deliberately do more than how much he has to do involuntarily.
I think it's the baseline successful in that. The person's baseline, the way he is going
well,
to do it and not to
do it. See, the problem with what you're saying, you could say, it means one way you could do it, you keep your mouth shut, you can't pull out your tooth. It's not accessible. But the eyes are accessible. The problem is a haircut, it's also accessible. You can give a guy a haircut, sometimes you pull a kid to the barber, he doesn't want to go, and you give him a haircut. I mean, it looks like you force him, but you still can cut his hair. You can cut a guy's hair if he doesn't help you. Right? He doesn't have to. If he doesn't hit you, if I fight with you, you know. It's what he's saying. The chiluk that he's saying, the way I understand it, and if we find this chiluk in the Ritva Makis, is this chiluk, that if something which is happening involuntarily, it's not that involuntary, something which is happening as a hagdama is aser. Something which is happening as maisa, after it's in, that's mut.
That's
now, what? How to say one's a hagdama and one's not hagdama?
No, one is madmen asaros. I'm preparing
him. We have right now a machloik is the Ramon de Taz. The Ramon says that you can pull out a guy's tooth. I had this shayla already with older people. I once had a neighbor, an older person, who had a terrible toothache. And he was a chayla. He was a person who was infirm anyway. He had Parkinson's in an early stage, but he was not well. And he had a bad toothache, and they had called the Jewish dentist in, and he wanted to pull the tooth. I had them call the Galician dentist, although in his case, I think it was what they Yisrael. So we're going to get back to it next week. I hope the Shabbos doesn't come on next Shabbos to anybody, Chalila. But we have Machlek Sturman de Taz, and the ice sphere of it we'll get to. Mishnah Berurah says we'll get to.
Why is it Mr. Weiser?
Why not?